This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. May Allah's peace and blessings be on each and every one of you. I'd like to welcome you, dear viewers, to our series, The Best in Islam, where we're looking at what revelation has clarified for us with regards to what's best in our life as Muslims, from the perspective of God. What is really the best? And we are currently looking at what's best in charity. Who are best to be charitable to? Where should that charity come from? Where is the best place? What is the best source? All of these, the Prophet, may God's peace and blessing be upon him, based on revelation from Allah, most great and glorious, has been enlightening us in this field. And the Prophet, may God's peace and blessing be upon him, had gone on to say, أَفْضَلُ الصَّدَقَةِ أَن تَصَدَّقَ وَأَنْتَ صَحِيحٌ شَحِيحٌ تَعْمَلُ الْغِنَى وَتَخْشَى الْفَقْرِ وَلَا تُمْهِلْ حَتَّى إِذَا بَلَغَتِ الْحُلْقُومِ قُلْتَ ولفلان كذا ألا وقد كان لفلان كذا. The best charity is to give while you are healthy and covetous, hoping for wealth and fearing poverty. Do not delay until the soul reaches the throat, and then you say, this is for so and so, and that is for so and so. For it is already for so-and-so. The Prophet, may God's peace and blessing be upon him, had given us another scenario for the best charity. Because charity, when you are sick, people give charity hoping that Allah will reward them with good health, heal their sickness. Or they feel they're going to die. Okay, give. The best time to give is not when you're in that state. The best time to give is when you feel perfectly fine. You're healthy. You're at your best. Now you give. Give when you have wealth that you desire. You don't want to fall into poverty. You have a fear even of poverty. This is the time that's best to give. When you're sure that you're not going to fall into poverty, obviously giving then is good, but it's not like giving when you fear poverty. And the fear of poverty is something which hits even people with great wealth. We're not talking about a borderline case, a person who may be on the verge of losing his wealth. No. What tends to happen is that when people have wealth, they develop a stinginess, not wanting to share that wealth. They fear that those around them may try to take their wealth. So their character changes. Normally in society, if somebody smiles at you, you smile back. That's why the Prophet, may God's peace and blessing be upon him, had said that smiling at your brother is sadaqah. It is charity to smile because it brings out good feelings and they normally will smile back. However, when you are a person who has developed wealth, you're now wealthy and you had to strive and struggle to get to that wealth, then you look at people around you when you have that wealth in a different light. You start to look at the people around you as wanting to get at your wealth. That's why they want to know you. That's why they want to be with you. They want to access your wealth. So when somebody smiles at you, instead of thinking that, okay, you know, that's very nice, you smile back, sadaqah, you think, what does that person want? They want to get to my wealth. You think the worst. And that's what tends to happen to people when they get wealth. So that's why the Prophet ﷺ had said, the best charity is to give while you're healthy and covetous. Covetous meaning you don't want to let go of your wealth. You want to hold on to it as tightly as possible. This is the best time to give charity, to break that love of wealth, to break that addiction to your wealth. And it should be at a time when you fear poverty, because that is the consequence of your covetousness. You have that wealth and you fear, you look around and you fear others wanting to take from you and put you in a situation of poverty. And poverty is relative. Where you may feel poverty means for you that you've lost the wealth you have, you know, the great wealth that you have. But it doesn't necessarily mean that you're poor, that you've become poor. As was the case a few years back when the meltdown of the banks in the US finally reached Europe. Banks were being closed, people were losing millions overnight. There was one individual, a German businessman, who they said was the 47th richest person on the face of the earth. His family had amassed a huge fortune. It was some $19 billion. And in the course of 1 week during that period, with the meltdown, the great banking crisis, in 1 week, he lost $10 billion. $10 billion in 1 week. What did he do? Here's a man who has companies, he has all this wealth. He loses $10 billion. As they say, easy come, easy go. Of course, it wasn't easy come. His family had struggled and striven for many years to get to where they had gotten. But in 1 week's time, he lost $10 billion. What did he do? He went home, and this is a man who was in his late 70s. He went home, went to his desk, sat behind his desk, opened the drawer, took out a revolver, and blew his brains out. How? He lost $10 billion. And we'd say, yeah, that's huge. It's a massive loss. But he still had $9 billion. He was so caught up in the loss. This is the fear. This is that fear of poverty that strikes the heart of those who are very rich and makes them also, you know, very stingy, very greedy. It struck him. He took his life. He couldn't see the $9 billion that he still had. He could only see the $10 billion that he lost. So this is what the Prophet, may God's peace and blessing be upon him, was addressing. That giving charity, when one has that desire to hold on to one's wealth, fearing poverty, looking at everything around you from the perspective of it causing you financial loss. This is the time, this is the big challenge to give at that time, to break that addiction to wealth. And the Prophet ﷺ warned that one should not delay. When you have the means to give, or you are driven, you have the feeling, the desire to give, then you shouldn't wait. Don't delay it. Because you don't know the future. Give when you have the idea, the concept, etc. If you delay it, and that's what tends to happen, the people delay it until death is upon them. They know there's no coming back. Your giving when you didn't think you're going to die is far different from your giving when you know you're going to die. That's the bottom line. So the Prophet ﷺ is telling us, give while you're not thinking you're going to die. That's much greater. That's real. That's charity. That's real charity. Give when you're not thinking that you're going to die. You feel you're healthy. A lot of life ahead of you. You give then. That has real value. We're going to take a brief break here now and continue to look at charity when one is wealthy and healthy. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. How many of you have thought about polygamy? It's a topic which the Western society, the Western world, sees as something negative. Islamically, of course, it is a part and parcel of the Islamic marital system. It is not something harmful to society. In fact, it is something beneficial to society. It has rules. It is not just any man can marry any number of women under any circumstance. There are rules governing it, you know. So it is important for every Muslim to understand why polygamy in Islam. Prophet Muhammad ﷺ was polygamous. He had multiple wives. And if we don't understand what polygamy is, when people speak about the Prophet, may God's peace and blessing be upon him, they denigrate him, they speak ill of him, etc., etc., especially in this area, then we have nothing to say. I mean, we may react emotionally, but we really don't have a proper defense because we haven't understood this part of Islam. So from this perspective, it's worth taking this course to get some insight into how polygamy functions within the Islamic system or how it's supposed to function. And we don't judge it based on individuals we see or know, etc., and what they have done or are doing and have said. We judge it according to what Islam actually says. So enjoy this course and share the knowledge that you gain from it to others, so you are rewarded both for your effort in gaining that knowledge as well as the effort in conveying that knowledge. As the Prophet, may God's peace and blessing be upon him, told us all, بَلِّغُوا أَنِّي وَلَوْ آيَةً. Convey whatever you have learned from me, even if it is only a single verse from the Quran. Barakallahu fikum. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Assalamu alaikum. Welcome back from the break. We were looking at charity when we are with surplus, fearing poverty and its implications. When you have and you fear losing it, to give at that time requires a spiritual struggle. You have to overcome your desire, your greed, your desire to keep for yourself. That is the big challenge. And that is where the greater reward lies. So the Prophet, may God's peace and blessing be upon him, had said, the best charity is to give while you are healthy and covetous, hoping for wealth and fearing poverty. Then he went on to say, and don't delay until the soul reaches the throat. Don't delay until you're sure you're going to die. You can feel it. Death is upon you. This is the time that you give. Why? Because it's already gone. Your giving at that time is not rewardable. it's done. Your opportunity is over. When the soul reaches the throat. And that's why the Prophet ﷺ had said, that's the time when repentance is no longer acceptable. He said, repentance will continue as long as the world continues. But once the sun rises from the west, that's one of the signs it's all over. Repentance at that point, that's the end of the world, sign for the end of the world. Repentance is no longer acceptable. You know the world's ending. Similarly, when death is upon you, soul has reached the throat, there's no way to escape. For you to repent at that point is not acceptable. Like Pharaoh chasing Moses, alayhi salam, the water is separated and he's going across the land in between. Pharaoh is not thinking, look at this water. Standing here, standing there. You know, this is a miracle. This man must be a man of God, without a doubt. He's seen so many other signs before anyway. Oh, he's only thinking of getting Moses. Catch him and punish him. Kill him and his people. Of course, when the water now is released, and he sees the water coming from both sides, he knows it's all over. He calls out, I believe in the God of Moses. But that declaration of faith at that point is of no value. It doesn't change anything. Too late. Similarly, charity, at the time when a person knows that death is upon him or her, charity at that point is of no value. It is of no value. So, the Prophet ﷺ had said, to say at that point, this is for so-and-so and that is for so-and-so, it is already for so-and-so. They will get it. They will take from your wealth. You can't take it with you. So sadaqah, or voluntary charity, is best given when we are not fearing death. When we feel confident, we're healthy, everything is okay. This is the time to give sadaqah. And the Prophet ﷺ, as he had explained, charity is best given when there is difficulty involved. So this is when the difficulty lies. When you feel confident about life, you're successful, to give at that time is a trial. It's a challenge. There's challenge in it. And that is why he said it was the best charity. So we looked at the best charity from Revelation, from the Sunnah of the Prophet, may God's peace and blessings be upon him, as being serving the cause of defense of Islam. It is also the best charity when we give from our surplus wealth. And it's also the best charity when we give to those who are resentful to our relatives. But charity should begin at home. And of course, among the great challenges for charity is to give when one is in a state of destitution. One is destitute. When you have little, you have nothing. One occasion, a woman came to Aisha, wife of the Prophet, may God's peace and blessing be upon him. She had two children. She was starving. And Aisha could only find three dates. She gave the three dates to this woman and her two children. The woman gives to the two children who are crying, and they eat the dates. After she's made sure they've finished eating the dates, she's about to eat the third date, so she gets one, they got two. And they look at her with this date in her hand, about to put in her mouth, and they start to cry. They want more. And what does she do? She takes that one date that she has and divides it into two and gives it to her children. You know, this really amazed Aisha when she related to the Prophet, may God's peace and blessing be upon him. He praised this woman. He praised her for what she had done. Because here she was. This is the sadaqah. She's in a state of destitution. She's hungry, like they are. And even after giving them, she gives what she has. And there are a number of examples from the life of the Prophet, may God's peace and blessing be upon him, where his companions had done similar acts, which were highlighted to show the value and the greatness of giving while one is in a state of destitution. And when one is greedy, to give at that time is the biggest challenge. Because greed, that desire to want to keep for oneself, this is one of the main causes for difficulty, calamity, poverty in society. That the haves are not sharing with the have-nots. The Islamic principle of obligatory charity is there to do what? It is there to circulate wealth. So everyone is obliged to, who has this surplus, is obliged to give so that their wealth is not accumulated and then that wealth which was produced by the society as a whole, the value and the benefit is denied to the members of the society. So when people want to hold on to that wealth, not share it, this is when charity is best. For those people, to give at that time is the biggest challenge for them. And that's why the reward is the greatest. And the Prophet, may God's peace and blessings be upon him, had said in our final hadith on the chapter or the segment on charity, أفضل الصدقة سقي الماء. The best charity is water given for drinking to the public. Water, which is scarce in places where water is scarce, to provide public access to water by digging wells, providing, you know, water container or something to produce water in one way or another, this is one of the best forms of charity because you're benefiting the society as a whole. It's not a particular individual, but you're sharing that water which Allah has given you control of or access to, you're sharing it with the society as a whole. And this is why you find in many parts of the world, you will find houses having taps outside where people can pass by and get a drink. They're easily accessible because of this recommendation of the Prophet, may God's peace and blessing be upon him, to share water with people, that this is amongst the best charity. So the digging of wells is a very popular way of being charitable. Many charitable organizations engage much of their time in the digging of wells for various societies. So with that, dear viewers, we'll be concluding now our session on charity, the best of charity. And we hope that you will continue to follow our program into the next segment, where we'll be looking at other elements of charity in society. And we bid you farewell. Closing out, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.